The Modular Driven Technologies ACC chassis on the T1X, the Bushnell Forge, and the Forester Coax this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we kind of have a grab bag full of things to talk about. The first thing, I will talk about the most visible, and that is this guy sitting here in front of me, and this is the Tika T1X that is now sitting in a Modular Driven Technologies ACC chassis. That is the Adjustable Core Competition chassis. Now, obviously, we are sponsored by Modular Driven Technologies. They were nice enough to send the ACC chassis out to drop the T1X in. Now, if you go to MDT's website right now, you may notice there isn't a T1X option. That's because this is the chassis for the T3. The difference is you will have to remove the magazine catch to not interfere with the magazine on the T1X. But once you do that, the magazine drops right in. The rifle drops in, and this thing works very, very well. Now, you do notice right up here, we have pretty much the perfect barrel length for this chassis. Our 20-inch barrel extends just a little bit past the edge of the fore end, so I can still get on here and remove the thread protector, and I can still get on and apply my suppressor if I want to shoot it suppressed. But overall, the setup is almost perfect. I need to measure things out. I would almost like to see a 16-inch barrel in this, so I just had enough finger room to thread the suppressor on at the front here and have it mostly protected by the chassis because the channel is wide enough in here that my Gemtech Outback 2 suppressor would fit in here with no problem at all. So that may be something that we look into in the future if we decide to replace the barrel in this rifle. I have had a couple of range trips now with the ACC chassis in the T1X, and it is just absolutely phenomenal for field and barricade type shooting, and even just shooting from the prone position. Being able to get this full vertical pistol grip and have my thumb ramps up here and get my reach to the trigger just dialed in perfectly is excellent. And obviously we have all the cheek adjustments here. And one really cool thing we have on the ACC that works great for NRL 22 competition is you have a knob here on the side that you can loosen up. And then you have a quick adjust butt pad for your height here. So if you really want to dial in that offhand shooting position, then you can put your butt pad exactly where you want to bring the comb up to your cheek instead of having to drop your head down. So again, really nice to be able to get everything dialed in. And since there are markings on the buttstock, you can record that in your data book and you know exactly how you need to have it set up for each different stage. You'll notice on the front here, this is a worn Skyline bipod. We are reviewing this guy right now, so we will have more information as we go forward. Obviously, to complete the whole MDT thing, I would prefer to have an MDT bipod on here. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a hold of one of those going forward and be able to give you a review on that. But the worn bipod has some very interesting features that I will be happy to go through once we get a little bit more field time on it. Now, the ACC chassis for the T1X has a full-size centerfire magazine well here. Again, because this is designed for the T3, it normally would accept AICS mags, but you have this extra space up in here that allows you to reach in and release your magazine very easily. When you're reinserting the mag, you just have to remember you need to be at the back of the mag well before you drive it in and lock it in. So, really, no big deal at all. It would maybe be nice to have a piece that replaces the magazine release that maybe is a little bit more of a guide to run that guy in, but by no means a deal breaker whatsoever. And it's kind of nice that this is the exact same chassis as the T3. So if you shoot a T3 in PRS or NRL centerfire competition, you can set up the T1X in this guy and have the exact same setup. Now that is really one of the places where this chassis system really comes into its own, because you can put all these extra weights on here. You can kind of dial the balance in just like your centerfire rifle. That is what really attracted me to this chassis system, because I have a Remington 700 in an ACC chassis, and I can get the two to feel very, very similar to each other by just setting up the weight system and where it's at. This is a Chunky Monkey 4A22. It is a 16-pound rig, the way it's set up right here. But really cool setup on it is, if I run the bipod forward and then pick this guy up, you notice it balances just forward of the magwell. So if I leave the bipod on the fore end like that, then I can balance this thing on a barricade almost perfectly. And when I'm shooting offhand and I get up underneath the rifle, then I don't have to worry about it trying to nosedive on me or pull me off. It is really a very nice setup overall. And of course, you saw one of the really cool features there is the full-length ARCA rail here, so I can slide the bipod to wherever I need the bipod at the time. And I've got it set in the middle here just for space constraints on the table. Normally, I will run it as far out as I can for the stage just to give me a little bit of extra stability. So really, that's enough gushing about the chassis system. I'm really happy with the ACC chassis overall. I did have a little bit of input in the development of it. We got to work with the prototype before it went into production, and the grip was one of the things that I recommended, so I was really happy to see it go into production with an adjustable grip, so you could get that reach just dialed in perfectly for whatever trigger you're using. And the added benefit when we're talking about 22 trainers and centerfire rifles is you can dial that reach in to be the same, even though you're using a slightly different trigger, if you're using something like I am, where one is a Tika and the other is a Remington, or a Tika and a Deadline, then the reach to the trigger, it's not going to be in the exact same place between the two, but you can move the pistol grip to get the reach exactly the same and get things lined up. So again, really nice on there. Now, one of the other features that you will notice taking this from the base class rifle into the open class version is this big old Mongo Diversified Innovative Products bolt handle here. I went ahead and bought this guy because I don't like how stubby the factory bolt knob is. It really is not a big deal in base class competition. It's really not a big deal in NRL 22 competition, because you do have 2 minutes for 10 rounds. So missing the bolt handle and having to come back down and pick it up again is not that big of a deal. But the added mass of the large bolt handle just gives it a little bit of a better feel when you're running the action. So I just kind of really like the larger bolt handle. I like how it sticks out there. Now I have this one because it is really more of a standard tactical knob pattern, but we also have some products coming in from Sterk from Australia, and they're sending us one of their bolt shrouds and their swept ball knob that is closer to what you would find on a Accuracy International or a Sako rifle. So I will be really interested to see how well that works. I believe they're also sending us one of their metal thread protectors, because the factory thread protector is plastic on here. So we'll be happy to get those parts in, play with them a little bit, and then give you our impression of how those work out. So just a little bit something for our Australian friends as well. I'll be very happy to see how those dial in. Now, you will notice that we have replaced the Athlon Argos on here, and this is now a Bushnell Forge. It is the 4.5 to 27 by 50 millimeter. It has a 30 millimeter main tube on here, so it is not a huge, heavyweight, bulky scope, but it gives me a really nice power range for both the quick transitions and running back and forth between target lines versus being able to dial it all the way up to 27, either for selecting ammunition, shooting groups, or also for paper stages at 100 yards. The parallax does dial down to 25, so it will get in close enough that we don't have to worry about parallax issues. We just did the unboxing and posted that, and I will throw a link up to that one. It comes with some really nice features, and it is under $1,000. So it does really preclude you from using it in base class, but for a more budget-oriented open class scope, I think this is going to be a really nice option. It is a first focal plane scope. It has their Deploy FFP mil reticle in it. So it is a Christmas tree style reticle. So you do have all your elevation and your wind holds dialed into it. And it is fine enough that I think for being able to shoot that little tiny bullseye at 100 yards, I don't think we're going to have any problems with that on the paper stages. It does have locking turrets, and it does have a zero stop built in. So again, all of the features that you really want from the higher end scope. So if you're running a Bushnell optic on your centerfire rifle, this may be a really good option to run on your NRL 22 rifle. If you're not running a Bushnell, then still really great option. So we will get this guy out and do some tracking tests on it. I may even, before we do the full review, pull it off of here, throw it on to the 6.5 Creedmoor centerfire rifle and see how well it works on a heavier rig in a centerfire match type setting. I don't anticipate any problems because regardless of if it's on a 16-pound 22 or if it's on a little bit heavier centerfire version, I really don't think we're going to have any recoil issues. I haven't seen any recoil issues from the midline Bushnells in the past. So we'll see. But little things like the built-in cattail on here and the zero stops are a really nice feature to see on this price point of optic. Bushnell is definitely keeping it up there. Now, we do not have an illuminated reticle on this version, so something to keep in mind, but again, not something that we're really worried about on what is generally going to be a competition scope. We don't run NRL 22 competitions at night. And most centerfire precision rifle competitions are not run at night or in low light. You usually have plenty of light to be able to see your reticle. So that is the Tikka T1X open class rig that I have sitting in front of me. But as I mentioned in the last Mail Call Mondays, we do have the Ruger Precision Rimfire and we have the CZ457. They have arrived. I just not had a chance to connect with my FFL and pick them up. So they are here. I do have all the things that I need to get them set up and get them out to the range to see how they stack up to what the T1X was in base class form. I'm going to be really interested to see how those guys really match up and to see if the price difference between the two is, or between the three is warranted. Any one of those rifles, the T1X, the RPR, or the CZ457, will allow you to start in base class, shoot there, and then move up. All of them have aftermarket barrels available. All of them have aftermarket triggers. And obviously, you can put whatever scope you want on them. So it will really be interesting to see the progression of each one of those rifles. So if you have any questions over those three, please go ahead and drop them in the comment section down below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. I really want to hear what you guys want to know about those rifles in regards to rimfire competition. Now, lastly, we are going to talk about the guy sitting behind me. You will notice that the Lee Classic Cast is now missing from the reloading bench behind me. It has been replaced by a Forster Coax. This is not really by necessity. There was no reason for me to replace the Classic Cast. I've been using that press for many years. Before that, I had a Lee Anniversary until I broke the linkage on it, and then I upgraded to the Classic Cast that has all steel linkage on it. And that press is just a beast. I upgraded it with the Hornady Lock and Load die bushing so I could quickly swap dies in and out, but it just really was not a satisfying tool to use. It produced great ammunition, but the primer collection had a lot to be desired. It had a flexible plastic tube off the bottom of it that I was always knocking off and then scattering spent primers and carbon and lead all over the floor, and I'd have to go sweep them up. It was not the cleanest because I took out the priming lever in it, so it would dump primer dust all over the top of the press. So just a lot of little things like that caused me to see the blemishes on it as I used it. It does have a lot of power to it. I could really do some pretty significant operations and put some power into it with the long handle and the way the linkage was designed, but I don't normally need a lot of power in the precision rifle operations that we use. Even full-length sizing brass, as long as I actually lubricate the cases and the dies correctly, then it really doesn't take a ton of effort to do so. So the longer I looked at it, I looked at the coax for quite some time. It is a significant price increase over a lot of the other presses that are out there. And I didn't really see the benefit if you're on a budget. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not have buyer's remorse. So far, I've loaded a couple hundred rounds on it. I really, really like the way that the dies slide in and out, and that was one of the primary reasons why I picked it up, is because I don't have to worry about dies working loose. I just put the collars on them, dial them into where I want, and slide them in, and they're good to go. I take them back out when I'm switching to a different operation or a different caliber, and I can slide the next one right back in. Now, getting the dies initially set up was a little fiddly, and don't worry, we're going to go over a much more in-depth discussion of the coax after I get a little bit more time and do a couple of more operations on it and shoot some really nice B-roll for you guys on it. But my initial impressions are it is a very, very high-quality piece of machinery, but it is very refined in the areas where I had issues with the classic cast. So the primer catch is just absolutely magnificent. It's just a hollow tube that comes directly off the bottom of the shell holder. So when you knock a spent primer out through your depriming or depriming and resizing operation, the primer falls straight down this tube right into this baby food jar sized plastic container and stays right underneath the press until you're ready to empty it. So basically, I usually load in lots of 100. So if I empty that thing every 100 rounds, there's no problem. It will not fill up on me, and I don't get all the grit and all the extra dust and junk floating around, and it's going to be very difficult for me to accidentally knock it loose by opening the door to my cabinet that is underneath it. So that is great. The fact that it has spring-loaded jaws that allow me to swap cases in without actually replacing shell holders is really nice. I just checked before we rolled this. It looks like I may actually even be able to reload 223 without swapping the jaws around. Technically, you're supposed to swap the jaws going from 308 case head size to 223 case head size, but it looks like unless I'm doing full length resizing, I'm probably going to be able to get enough bite on that case head with the 308 jaws to be able to extract it from the die. But we'll play with that a little bit and we'll see how that works out. So that is really my first impressions with the Forster coax. I have both the long handle that it came with. I also have the short stubby ball handle. Right now I've got the long handle on it because I found full length resizing. I just like the long handle better than the stubby handle. The stubby handle, when you're doing some nasty 308 brass, it takes a little bit of extra effort with the stubby, and I found that I was banging on the press a little bit more. With the longer handle, I get a little bit more power and a little bit more control when I'm doing operations that require some more effort. Now, comparatively, the classic cast, it felt like it required less effort for that resizing operation than the coax, but again, I didn't get the coax because I needed more power. I got the coax because I wanted a more refined setup. So I'm still in the learning phases of it. We've got it set up there. It's ready to go. I will have some more ammo, a couple of different calibers that I'm going to load for it, just to make sure the switching back and forth and setting up the different calibers from the previous settings. I just want to make sure that I have all my ducks in a row before I give you guys my final opinion. So again, if you guys have any questions on the Forester Coax, please go ahead and drop them in the comments down below. I really want to be able to tailor the review for what you guys are wondering about that press. And that's going to wrap it up for this Mail Call Mondays. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If so, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and click that little bell icon down there so that you are notified when we release new videos. We release new content every week, so make sure you get notified when the new ones come out. If you guys have any questions or comments, drop in the comments section below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you'd like to support the content that you know and love, we would love to have you over on Patreon, so check out the link down below on how you can help support the channel. And until next time, get out and shoot.